Thanks for tuning in to Timberlake's Message podcast. Taking your next right step doesn't have to be live on the weekend. It can be right now. So whether you're checking this message out for the first time or you're just looking for a weekday refresher, we hope you can apply to your life these practical teachings and through that, come closer to God. To find your next right step, check out the connection card at timberlakechurch.com/connection card or find it on the Timberlake Church app. Enjoy the message.
Hello and welcome to Timberlake Church. I'm so glad that you've joined us. I'm Ben, I'm the lead pastor. And if you're joining us for the first time, you have picked an excellent weekend to join us because we've only done this a couple other times. This is Timberlake Town Hall Weekend, where you're going to get to ask some questions, and we're going to look at our mission together. Of course, I'm going to be teaching through the scriptures. That's always part of what we do, but we're going to look at what God has for us as individuals, as a church, and as God does His work in the world. Now, over the years, I've sent out an email from time to time and say, hey, this is a big weekend, a big news, you don't want to miss it. And so when I do that, people will flock in, of course, before COVID-19. And after I'll share, usually that we were doing some great outreach or planting a church or a campus or something big is going on. I'll have someone come up to me and say, hey, oh yeah, that's great. I thought like you were going to maybe be resigning or something, with a little bit of a hopeful look in their eyes. And if that's you, repent. You cannot get rid of me. I am from Tacoma, which means I am tough. I am committed to God's work here at Timberlake Church. You think about what God has for us, and we have to admit, first of all, the times we're living in, they're a little challenging. In fact, after I shared a few images last week, I got sent a couple more this week. I like this one. If 2020 was a boat, no worries. Do you see that? This is one of my favorites. All of our dogs think we quit our jobs to spend more time with them. All of our cats think we got fired for being the loser they always knew we were. Well, if you're a cat lover, I am sorry. Sort of. Here's what I do think that God wants to do is He wants to reorient us, to renew us, and it has to do with maybe some of the goals we have. The title for this is #LifeGoals. And not that our goals are bad, but sometimes they're just insufficient. There's the gap between what we're shooting for and what God has created us for. And what I want to do, and it's not me, I hope that it's you connecting with God, is I want that gap to be filled and for you to live life more confidently with more purpose and more hope and more impact as well. See, it's not that we have bad goals. If I was going to look at the Seattle area, well, really the whole country, but especially our area, we have these unstated goals for ourselves. One would be safety. Now, safety is not a bad goal. And if that's been one of your goals, well, wow, we have had COVID-19, we have had riots, we've had all sorts of things, and particularly in the northwestern cities of Seattle and Portland, it's been a more challenging time. I mean, I don't know about you, I want safety. Well, when they announced the newest lockdown of sorts and that things like gyms would be closed, I decided, hey, I'm going to go to the gym one last time, or maybe for the first time in a while, but I'm going to go to the gym one last time. And I wasn't able to go during the day, so I went later at night, right before the gym closed. And as I did that, I received a text, and so I was returning the text in the parking lot in my car as I was about ready to go in the gym, and I'm on my phone, and all of a sudden, someone just rips open the door to my car. It just flings open, and the person starts to get in my car. I was freaked out. And I have to tell you that the words that came out of my mouth were not, "Bless you, child, in the name of the Lord Jesus." Well, he was just as freaked out. And he thought it was his car. And so he left and got in his car. I hope he got in his car. But it really rocked me. And just think about if that little incident rocked me really for a day, how much when your job situation has changed, maybe forever, when you don't feel that physical security, and of course, the health crisis. Well, another goal that we have is often stability. I remember some of the questions we got early on when COVID-19 really started to spread is, when will things get back to normal where, you know, everything's predictable? Things have never been predictable. And I say this, maybe you're a younger adult and you just started in the workforce in the last 10 years or so. And this has been a great season up until this year. And these crises are cyclical because things will always change. It doesn't mean that we can't make great decisions in the middle of it. But stability, honestly, is a bit of a myth. If you've ever had children, you know they change. Couples, I get this all the time. My spouse changed. Of course they did. And we have to learn to adapt. And then there's security. We want financial security. We think about that. We want security, obviously, when it comes to our health. But that need, that overemphasis on security can actually be a downfall for us at times. If you look in the business world, maybe one of the biggest blunders of at least an individual investor had to do with the overemphasis on security and not willing to take chances. We think of Apple Computer, a great company, and Steve Jobs and those people who founded it. Well, one of the people we may not be as familiar with is Ron Wayne. And Ron Wayne was one of the co-founders of Apple Computer. Well, he got into it, and just the stress, he couldn't handle it. He owned about 10% of the company, and he sold his shares for $800, not a share, 10% of Apple Computer. Literally, if he had that, he would be the wealthiest person in the country, if not the world, today if he had all that stock. Well, some of you just think, I feel better about that dumb decision I made. It'd be worth about $200 billion. Here's what he said in retrospect. He said, "I always felt like Apple would be successful, but at the same time, there would be significant bumps along the way, and I couldn't risk it. I had already had a rather unfortunate business experience before, and I was getting too old." See, here's the key idea. If safety, security, and stability, if those are your goals, it's been a bad year. And I think that can be a good thing for you. That can be a good thing for me. That can be a good thing for us as a church, because we are no longer holding to the process or maybe even the job or the finances or this sense of security. Because really, even in the current health crisis, and it is a crisis, that we're all going to face physical challenges when it comes to our health. Jesus, he steps in the middle of our risk aversion. When he's talking about his ministry, he's going to give his life on the cross. He's going to be spit on and jeered. And we don't even have a concept of what he went through physically and emotionally. But he's thinking about his followers. And he says this. He says, "Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid." This is a commitment to radical trust in Jesus. And so I want to set a biblical context before we get to our questions. And as I look at sort of God, me, and we, I was going through the book of 2 Timothy. Now, we just finished 6 weeks in 1 Timothy. And as I was planning for the year, I was just impressed at how much it spoke to our current situation and what we're going to talk about this weekend. I'm going to do an overview. I'll go in-depth through the book of 2 Timothy at some point. Well, it starts with saying, talking about God's purpose. It says, He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of His own purpose and grace. The grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So it starts with God's mission. See, Paul is writing to Timothy, who's a leader of a Christian movement, a leader of a bunch of churches, and he's giving him some instruction in how he should operate as a person and how the churches should operate as well. But it starts with God's grander purposes. And so he says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and dead, in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. See, the priority is what we know as the gospel. It means good news. And then in 2 Timothy 4:5, we read, but you keep your head in all situations. How many of us know someone who needs to read that verse? Keep your head in all situations. And I shared this in one of the services, but not in all of the services. But really, when it came to the new lockdowns and everything, I was getting all sorts of texts from some of you, and it is amazing in how varied they were. Some of the texts were, don't give in to the deep state machine, and you have to, we have to be able to live free and maskless, just like it says in the Bible. And then there are others of you who were saying, no, even though the medical doctors who have specialty training in immunology and work for the Centers for Disease Control say you can meet under these circumstances, I read some article in People Magazine or Mother Jones that says we shouldn't. And I got all these different kinds of texts. And you say, are you making fun of me? Yes, I am, just a little bit. And I'm also asking you to be humble, because in humility, you will find hope. In humility, you will find purpose. In humility, you won't destroy relationships in a matter of days or weeks that in decades you will not be able to rebuild. And so we need to take a step back. And we need to understand that our greatest mission is not stability, security, or safety. Our greatest mission is to be connected to the God who loves us, to share that love with the people around us. And by the way, this is going to freak you out. You know, some of the early Christians, that it was in a time of disease. Honestly, our current disease, and it's bad, but it pales in comparison the effect of what they were living through. And you know what they said? That's not going to keep me from caring for anyone. And they gave their lives, and they gave their resources, and they said, no, we are going to share the love that will last not only in this life and in the next. So you want to know what being a Christ follower is about? It's about understanding the depth of the hope that you have, and sharing that hope with other people as well. Well, okay, let me get into it. I could camp there a little bit longer, but we need to look at three aspects of this. Number one is God's mission. What is God's mission? I was thinking about that as I was reading an article, and I'm going to just quote from it in the Seattle Times. Danny Westnut, or Westneed, I am not sure of his name exactly, but he writes articles. I actually don't even think he lives in Seattle. And he was writing about the election. Of course, many of you, one side or another, got a little freaked out. You're still freaked out for some reason about the election. And he was describing the what he thought was the theological and sociological phenomenon called the nuns. The fact that in Washington State, according to his article, that 34% of the adults say they are no religion. Not like, you know, a lot of people, oh, I was raised Catholic or Baptist or Lutheran or Muslim or Buddhist or Hindu. No, but like no religion whatsoever. And how that has shaped our society. Now, obviously, that's an extreme in our country. But it really has to do with God's mission. You ever read in Luke chapter 15, there's this story, and it's really three stories about a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. And you get God's heart because he says, hey, even though I've got the 99 sheep and they're all okay, when one is wandering, when one is afraid, when one is without hope, I will put all my energy and effort there. And see, that's God's mission. Here's what we read in 2 Timothy 1:9. He saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. The reality is we're not perfect. By the way, if you're looking for a perfect church, you picked the wrong one. But we believe God is. In 2 Timothy 2:8, it says, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David, this is my gospel. And I will get people who will ask me a question about, what is your mission or how did you come up with it? We believe the scripture sort of gives us our mission, and really every Christian church should be about this, that we want there to be more and better followers of Christ, that we would come to discover faith, and then we would grow deeper in our faith. Here's how we describe our church, is that we are a biblically faithful, life-giving church. I want to say this in a way that's clear and kind, and I'm going to try to do both. There have been people, even in our region, way too many, and I don't know, maybe started ministry too early, I don't know what it is, but they're sort of in theological process as they're leading folks. And that's okay to hear the voice of God, yes, and to change some opinions. But I'm talking about something greater than that. I just have to tell you, we are not in process as a church. We understand and rely on the truth of what God has for us. But we understand that although the truth is firm and that it's solid, that God is incredibly loving, and there is nothing, I love what it says in the Bible, again and again, so many places, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. I mean, honestly, with the murder of George Floyd and some of the tension around policing and all the things that went on in the spring, there are people who wrote a lot, and understandably, and again, it seemed like some people discovered for the first time that there were some issues in America when it came to race and justice and diversity. And I'm glad that was discovered. I got to tell you, I did preach a sermon talking about it then, but I was hesitant because I never preach a news cycle. And it's been for well over a decade we've been talking about this and God's heart for the nations and for that our church would look like heaven and that God is about, yes, love, yes, about mercy, which our society has stepped away from, and that may be unrecoverable unless we recover forgiveness and mercy and justice as well. So what is, number two, Timberlake's mission? That's a great question. What is the mission of Timberlake Church? I would love to look at it first from a biblical perspective. And this is the Apostle Paul talking to Timothy. He says, you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. So it starts with God's truth, but it's not just about us. I've said this before, that if Timberlake had to decrease as a church for God's kingdom to increase, that's okay. Do I believe that's God's plan? No, and in fact, honestly, I think our influence is needed more than ever in our region, and I feel honestly the burden of that as there's been so much going on in different churches and ministries. But this is fundamentally about God and God's purpose. So I think a way that we interact with each other, though, is important, too. Because there's been a lot of people who make a lot of points but don't make a lot of difference. And if you've been around here, we always say we want to make a difference, we don't want to make a point. You know that you can make a point powerfully and not make any difference whatsoever. It's all how you approach it. I mean, if you look at the people who have made a difference when it comes to issues of justice, they operate in a way that's so different. And I think it's reminiscent of what we read in the scripture. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed. See, you can have opponents in the hope that God will grant them repentance. That means that people can be wrong and we turn and we go a new direction. That is real. There are people who believe things that are crazy and hurtful, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. Well, okay, with that context, I want to get the questions. And I know that many of you have questions you've sent in. You can still send them in. And I'm not going to get to all of them, but here are some. Here's one that came in advance. How is the church doing? And so I knew someone was going to ask this question. And so we came up with some information. So if you look at physical attendance, we're at about 43% of our pre-COVID attendance. Currently, the national average is about 30%. And interestingly, we haven't pushed it like a lot of places have. Because here's what the Bible is really clear, is that you're to worship God on a regular basis. Absolutely. And some of you haven't, and I'm encouraging you and inviting you and giving you a little bit of shove to do that, whether that's online every week, in a drive-in service, or in one of our physical locations. But we have, and we've seen, honestly, a lot of new people. Internationally, we've reached out to over 100 countries as people have joined us. That's something that we weren't expecting at all. Also, online engagement's up a couple 100%. Over 2,000 cars have joined us in our drive-in service. Well, what about digital engagement? We've had, since COVID-19 started, 12,500 downloads of our podcast, over 1,700 new users on our app. That's been exciting. Next Right Steps, our groups, now this is incredible. 26% more people are in groups, even though many of them are online. We've had 94 people baptized. And that's, yes, it's physically distanced and safe and all of that. That's not our highest ever, but that's pretty amazing given the context. Well, our outreach, we've over 1,200 families have received care packages. We did this thing, this trunk or treat, a physically distanced gathering with sort of a Halloween alternative. Thought that maybe people might be interested. Over 2,000 people came from the community. We've had over 700 units of blood from the blood drive. And there's been so much more that's happened. We've started a new campus in Snoqualmie. In fact, this is pretty cool, is there's another campus that's in the Seattle area. We're going to talk about what that means to be more local and regional, that we may be starting in the very near future. God has just opened up an amazing door of ministry and even a physical location that it's not all signed yet, that we could have never dreamed of. A good question is this: how are decisions made at Timberlake and who is involved? I make all the decisions and everyone obeys. No, I would like that. That doesn't happen that way. The pastors do, and I'm not the only pastor. The pastors do lead, and the Bible talks about that. But we have some cooperation and accountability. There's a church board, and some of you hear that and you're like, oh, that must be awful. We have an amazing board of men and women who help lead the church. And you say, well, how do they get on that? These are people who have already proven themselves faithful, engaged in their worship and sharing their faith, and they're serving and giving, and leaders who we actually have so many great leaders, and we have always had great cooperation. Someone's asked me, well, have you gone through any big conflicts? When it comes to our leadership, honestly, not really. There have been times when we've had to pause because it wasn't the right time, and we said, hey, why don't we wait till God really speaks to all of us on this? Well, great question is this. When do you see us adding more regional campuses to Timberlake? We have one down in Castle Rock, Washington, which is it's a little town, and there's hundreds of people a weekend who come to that campus, a facility that was given to us. And a lot of them will come that same way, churches that are at the end of their life cycle, and they like what God is doing, and so we're given a facility. Or a vibrant church that wants to join us. We are in conversation with a couple right now. What is the status of the Faith Forward campaign? If you're new around here, that was a vision initiative that had a capital component where we did some improvements on our campuses. If you've been out, you've seen them. Duval campus looks phenomenal. A new ministry center so we could have all our team together in a place that's under construction right now, a new roof on the Redmond campus. One of our projects was with Compassion House. Many of you know we're the parent organization for Acres of Diamonds, and it's a ministry to homeless women and children. And when they were in a place where it looked like they weren't going to be able to exist, we stepped in, and now we're doing a great expansion there. And then now in Issaquah, Compassion House is part of that ministry. And we've been the primary financial partner, and we said, hey, when it comes to this new one, we want to partner again. And so we've already fulfilled that commitment. Well, when do you sense things coming back to somewhat 2019 normal at church? Well, there's good news and bad news. Here's the good news is God is doing great stuff. The bad news is back when this started, one, I bought an exercise bike because I knew it would last a while. And I also thought, hey, this will probably be about fall 2021 to where things are at our new normal. Now, again, things are progressing that way. Almost every single week, we have more people than we've had the week before in physical attendance. I think our online engagement will never go away. We had an online campus, but it's not going to go back to what it was before. But I think that we are moving towards that, especially, I mean, it's sort of crazy when you think of, one, the challenge, the spike in COVID-19 right now, and that's a very, very real deal. Also, we've been able to treat it better, and we've had two vaccines that are not too effective just on COVID-19, but of the most effective ever developed for any disease ever that have come out, three others in our country and other countries. And so we do sense, and I think you can have a level of confidence, that things are going to get back to a new normal. Great question is this. How is Timberlake reaching ethnic communities in our city? Well, our cities, we're in multiple cities. I know you attend one campus. But we're going to do what we've always done. When I came to Timberlake and we were one church, one location, one service, and really one ethnicity for the most part, I've said, and every church I've ever led has looked a lot more like heaven. And that's through what I call radical welcome. And so I remember when there was one African-American person literally in the whole church, and we said, hey, every person matters to God. And so we've reached out, and if you look at people who volunteer, serve, even the team and leadership, that we want that to continue to happen. Now our communities are changing rapidly, some of them, and so we want to make sure not that it's a representation quota per se, but that it's a radical love, that every person knows that they're wanted, loved, and needed, and finds hope in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and uses even our church to do that. And so our church is going to look a lot more like heaven. I hope even more and more. Well, how has the mission and the ministry changed at Timberlake in the last 10 years, and how will it change in the next 10 years? Great question. There's two parts to it. One, mission has not changed, and we don't ever foresee that changing. That we are a church that will help people find and follow Jesus Christ. That's what we're about. Now, the ministry, that has changed. I mean, as we've gone more multi-site, that plan developed over time. Honestly, it started out as sort of an accident, and then we've added more campuses, and we've just seen God refine that. We are always going to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. I think in how I speak has changed a little bit because the questions people are asking are different. And so that's why every year we do a series that really apologetics, if you are familiar with that word. I never call it apologetics, but deals with issues like, can I trust the Bible? What about science and faith and creation? How about some of the social issues that are faced? And so we always deal with those because those really will help some of you. You're a Christ follower and you're on the edge of actually walking away from your faith needlessly. And I think what you really need to do is engage more with Jesus in the Bible. And then when we do that, we grow in our faith and bring along friends as well. I was talking to someone from one of our campuses. I did a sermon. Maybe some of you didn't like it, but it was on creation and scripture and how you can understand each. And if you've heard one before, trust me, this is a little different than you've heard before. And he said, okay, that's when it clicked. That I could be a follower of Jesus. So our methods will always change. Well, here's what it comes down to when it comes to God's mission and our mission is how do we engage? And that's your mission. What is the mission? And I'm going to invite you to participate. And if you have other questions, go ahead and send them in. We'll do this maybe a little more often, maybe in a different format, because we have a mission that God has assigned us to. And I'm going to go ahead and make the ask. I'm asking you to maybe go from a spectator to a participant. Maybe that you'd say, hey, I'm going to get involved, that you're going to get connected, yes, at the church, but also you're going to think more than just about maybe your community and your growth. I hope that happens, but about your mission. Christmas Eve, I think, is going to be a big one here at Timberlake. Now, it's going to be varied. There's going to be online and drive-in and some in physical locations as we're able to. And I want you to invite someone because people are searching spiritually like never before. Maybe it's a brother or sister across the country who's going to join you online. Maybe it's a family who lives down the street. They're really, COVID-19 has them really hunkered down, but they might come to a drive-in service. However you participate, that you would invite, that you would also, of course, invest, that financially you would say, hey, this is my church. I'm going to invest in the minute. Maybe our, as we do our Finish Strong offering, you'll make a financial investment, a significant one, maybe cash or stocks, whatever that is, to help the ministry go forward. And when it comes to money, you've noticed if you've been here, I never preach need like, hey, we're going to have to shut down the church unless you give. We just make really good financial decisions based on your faithfulness. We have an opportunity and a responsibility like never before. We're actually leading an entire network of churches that has blown up, that well over 10,000 Christians on a weekend. And God has given us this leadership and responsibility. And these opportunities are great. But it takes a personal investment. I know Terry and I, we've invested personally more. Terry's my wife, by the way, if you're new, that we've invested more personally in the mission of Timberlake than ever before. We've just really see God working. Also, that you would engage, that you would not let the digital divide be a spiritual divide for you. That if you're joining us online, it's harder to join every weekend, but I'm asking you, make it a priority that you would grow in your faith. And then maybe if you're able to go to one of the physical locations, you would serve somewhere. The Apostle Paul says this, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but all those who have longed for his appearing. And the Bible talks about heaven, and I need to, at some point, probably do a little series on heaven because there's so many misconceptions. But I think one of the things the Bible talks about is this concept of reward, that what we've done for God, how we've lived out that mission, we'll get a glimpse of that, hopefully in this life, but also in the next. And I want to give you a preview of that. As you have invested and invited, as you've asked tough questions, and I love it when you do, of what God has done in the last year or so through your your ministry and your mission and our mission together. Take a look at this.
My relationship with God was, has always or always was, really rocky. There was always questions and never fully understanding why people go through what they go through.
I was always angry at God, and it was my excuse to keep my distance. I pretty much openly mocked believers.
I honestly believe that people of religion in general were just weak. I thought they needed that. By middle school, I had been introduced to alcohol, drugs, and pornography.
That whole entire time, I felt numb.
There was a time where I have to choose between providing a meal for the kids or buying gas for going to work.
I felt like I was drowning and I needed something to grab onto and I didn't know what.
My world as I knew it came crashing down. You know, it's really hard to get up every day and get dressed and take care of your kids and put a smile on your face when your whole life is just crumbling. In a time that was really, really hard for me is when I found Timberlake Church.
But then we found Timberlake.
Oh, when I went to Timberlake, I completely felt comfortable because I felt like there was no judgment.
Services were helpful and uplifting. I felt supported. I started feeling like I could trust Jesus.
Pastor Ben said, open your eyes and meet mine if you've accepted Christ. And I think it was at that point that I really felt that it was time for me to accept Jesus into my life as my Savior.
The journey I've gone through and just looking up and praying and having that moment, that was raw for me.
I never felt such an immense happiness and fulfillment. I'm stronger. I'm happy. I love my life. I got baptized. I describe my life now as the glass is overflowing.
I'm happy again. I feel the joy in life again. And more than anything, I can actually see hope.
We have been able to just find joy, real joy, in our pursuit of Jesus and light from our darkness.
Well, thank you for making those stories possible. And I really believe that God has so much more ahead. But I have to let you know, for some of you, you're thinking of that's great for those people. But maybe God's primary purpose today is that you would open up your heart and your life to Him. That you would make a decision, that you would take Him up on the offer, that you can be new or renewed in Him. And so as we close together today, I want to pray. Will you pray with me? Lord, I thank you for my friends who have been part of this great journey together. And God, we are not perfect, but we know that you are, and so we trust you. And God, I pray for those who feel on the outside, on the edges. And God, we thank you that you call us sons and daughters, that you invite us into your family. And maybe you're here and you don't feel like that and you're not sure, and you can be sure. And I want to invite you into a prayer, whether you're here online or you're here in the room, no matter where you're at, that you would just do business with God, that you would say, God, I invite you into my heart and my life. God, I want to be part of your mission and your plan. And God, I want you to heal me and restore me and forgive me along the way. God, that you would help recreate me to be the person that you have intended me to be. God, where there's brokenness, that you would bring healing. Where there's addiction and bondage, God, that you would bring freedom. Where there's confusion, God, that you would bring the ability to trust in you in the road ahead. And whether you've prayed that prayer or something like it, if you've invited Jesus into your life, the Bible says he will never leave you. He'll never give up on you. God, I thank you for my friends who've made that decision for the first time or first time in a long time to be part of your family. And God, I pray that you would help us as a church, that we would support one another as we go and do your work in the world, God, that we wouldn't leave anyone behind. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, and thank you for joining us, and hope that you'll join us again next weekend on Thanksgiving weekend at Timberlake.
Thanks for listening to this week's Message podcast. If you would like to watch the video version of this, visit our online campus at online.timberlakechurch.com, which is also live Saturday evenings at 5:30 and Sunday mornings at 8:30, 9:45, and 11:15 Pacific time.
And don't forget to check out our app for a one-stop solution to all things Timberlake. Thanks again, and we hope to see you this weekend.